Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Praise God. Would you stand to your feet with us, please? And actually, some of you are probably confused. What are they doing with communion stuff up here? You're going to be a part of that in just a minute or so. God's got something for you today. Hallelujah. Come on, give him a big hand for that. Oh, yes, he does. Acts chapter 2, verses 40 through 47, you'll find the responding verses on the screen behind me. With many other words, he testified, exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. So, continuing daily in one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Verse 47 together. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to them each daily those who were being saved. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we're starting on a journey today. And we're going to be talking about, Lord, the church that Jesus is building. And Lord, you say, well, is it a rebuilding? No, this is the church that Jesus is building. He's never stopped building the church. And Lord, I pray that today, that as we enter on this journey, that there'll be many people that will join us along the way, but you will manifest the glory of your word in our midst. And Lord, there's something you want to do with us as a beginning today, as some will receive communion in just a little while, Lord. There's something you're going to do with that is a demonstration of what the church is all about. It centers around your body. It centers around your blood that was shed for us. It centers around all the things that were done that are a sign of your presence in this house. And Holy Spirit, I ask you and give you the right of way to do all that you desire to do. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. For we ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus and all God's people said. Amen. You may be seated. As a matter of comment, there is no shortage of books or theological commentary on the fact that the crisis confronting the church as it relates to renewal, revival, or relevance. What does that mean? It means depending on who you talk to or the generation they represent, you will get a perspective that usually will center around tradition, biblical relevance versus cultural preference, and the need for the church to adjust its values, principles, and message to address the needs of a postmodern, dominant culture that is run by the engine of social media and multiculturalism. Ain't gonna do it. We're not changing anything. Because Jesus is building a church. And he laid out the formula really clear. And you say, well, you just read this little scripture. What does it say? So they just continue in fellowship house to house and breaking bread and the apostles' doctrine, this type of thing. That's it, honey. If you're looking for some grandiose sort of thing, you're looking for a multi this, multi that. I have nothing against churches that use all kind of stuff. They use all kind of smoke and lights and this type of thing. Good, wonderful. But you know, but when it all shakes down, are you coming to know Jesus better? Here's my question for you today. Are you ready and willing to join the church that Jesus is building to teach and equip you to be his disciple and witness to this generation? That's a question that says yes or no. Are you? Oh, three of you. Well, that's good. I'm going to ask the question one more time. This is the second time, and I'm going to ask it no more. Listen carefully. Are you ready and willing to join the church that Jesus is building to teach and equip you to be his disciple and witness to this generation? Very good. How spontaneous. Great. Question number two. Are you willing to forsake your preferences in exchange for the leading and direction of the Holy Spirit in your daily life?
Yes.
Now, I put something out there called preferences. We have all, everyone has likes things a little bit differently. We prefer this, we don't like that. We, you know, and he'll say, I want to tell you, God is not interested in your preference. He's not interested in the way you like doing church. He's interested in his kingdom coming and his will being done. Move on to number three. Are you willing to make the word of God the centerpiece of your life for all the decisions and directions that your life will take? You're in the right place. I got the right group. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord will bless any plan that is in alignment with the building of his church. 2 Peter 1, verses 2 through 4. We're going to look at that. Grace and peace to be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which having been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God has given us promises in his world that we can, his word that we can escape all of the things of the world that's trying to overcome us. That's the reason why we need to know the word of God. And we're going to get into that for a little bit today as far as introduction. The church is an equipping agent to give us all things that will pertain to life and godliness, which means this. First of all, everything that we need to be, who God wants us to be, can be found in the church that Jesus is building. There is no other place. Now, I've been to seminars, I've been to conventions, I've been to, you know, prayer, fast, retreats, and those are all great things. But you know what? Jesus is building his church, and you know, he was able to do that without all the things we added on to feel like we're going to augment what he's building. Now, there's nothing wrong with this. Don't get upset over this, but listen to this next thing. Our greatest need is, the Bible puts it here, it sounds pretty simple, is for fellowship like we're enjoying right now. What was the formula for the old church? And they continue steadfastly in apostles' doctrine, breaking of bread from house to house, and hearing the, and it was pretty simple. You know, there's one thing that you will not make it well in this life. It's without fellowship, it's not going to work. Now, let me give you some statistics here now. I thought it was just our church, but I found out it is a rampant thing all over the world. Do you realize that people nowadays, they're selective about when they want to come fellowship? I think I'll do the second and fourth Sundays. Those are the ones I serve as an usher. Don't get mad at me, just pray. Okay. I'll come, I always can't miss first Sunday because they have communion. I'm going to trick you today. We have communion on the fifth Sunday. Don't nobody know we're going to do this. So all the people that are all hung up on the first Sunday, I got you. We got it all figured out the way we want it. But anyway, I went to a particular meeting a few days ago, and this fellow was from Australia. Same thing happening there. People just decide, well, you know, you're busy and you've got kids that are in various sports and this type of thing. So the church is the first thing you will erase off your schedule. It's an option. Now, do I say you shouldn't go to other things? No. Do I say you shouldn't go on vacation? Absolutely not. You can go to the beach, go wherever you want to go. But when it becomes a habit that you go to that first, there's a problem. Because you have made a decision saying, I can make it without the church. I don't really need the church. Me and Jesus, we got it together. Got news for you. You'll be just as crooked as a cane if you just rely on yourself. Well, that's enough of that little rebuke. I'm going to move on. Jesus has designed his church to function around fellowship and interaction among believers. Now, the same perversion that we are facing today was confronting the church thousands of years ago. There ain't no new thing. You think you come up with some brand new stuff? You say, just because we've got drug problems and all kinds of media problems and porn problems and stuff, do you think for some reason that they weren't confronted with stuff then? Amen. Oh, they had stuff. Well, the first order of business for people who joined the church was obedience to follow the Lord's example of baptism. I'm going to start at the ground level. I just don't feel I'm just ready for baptism yet. An angel will appear in my window and it'll give me a message and then I'll know it's time for me to get baptized. This is so emotional. Oh, stop it. Get in the tank, baby. That makes me crazy when people come and say, I'm just really not feeling it. It ain't about your feelings. It's about obedience. If Jesus could get baptized, honey, get in the tank. Okay? This is Christian 101. And if we can't move past this, if you're still struggling with that, you won't get very far. This is going to be a rough series. I can tell this right now because this is the open day. If we resist the basic elements of following Jesus, we will not be successful in the dimension of our walk with him, which means we must be willing to allow the Holy Spirit to teach us how we can be in this world without being part of the world. Here's a perfect statement. I hope you'll memorize this. If you don't memorize it, just email me and I'll give it to you. It's not the ship in the water, but it's the water in the ship that sinks it. It's a world in the Christian that is dangerous. Somebody said, oh, I got it. Good. We're going to have to sail on the sea of all kind of stuff going on. But I want to say, stay in the ship. Remember Paul and some people, they were headed, they hit some stormy area. And there, some people say, oh, we need to get out of the ship and this type of thing. We're gonna die in the ship. And he says, you know what he told me? He says, unless you abide in the ship, you will not be saved. Stay in the ship. It may get rough. It may get rocky. Stay in the ship. You know what they used to call it? The old ship of Zion. The old ship of Zion was a church, honey. Stay in the ship. Stay in the ship. I'm making no guarantees when I'm going to finish today because I got to say this. This is something you need to hear. We need to hear. The spirit-directed enthusiasm is what will bring people to Jesus' church. We can get all kind of plans on how to get people here. Give them coffee, give them donuts, free trips to Disneyland, you know, take care of their kids whenever they want us to. I mean, we can get all kind of gimmicks and folks, oh, yes, New Song, they got it together. No, they don't. Y'all are just selfish. Watch this. We have to live and model the word of God to bring people to Jesus. Jesus brings it down to the simplest level ever. Just live Jesus. Just model Jesus in your conversation, the way you treat folks. And people say, well, why are you so nice? You know what I found out? Jesus was nice. He didn't have that attitude that you have. You know, when they get your Starbucks order all sideways, you're like, I didn't say I wanted two shots, I wanted one. The phone's not high enough. Lord Jesus. And that's a crisis. You go to work and you'll testify to everybody about your latte and won't tell them a thing about Jesus. Well, work on it, folks. Come on. Oh, I know God's talking to me today. The contagion of the word of God is discovered by people who see it alive in us. The Bible says you are living epistles known and read of men. A living epistle is someone that comes up to you that you don't have to find out what they're about. You just kind of say, you know, I've kind of watched your life and there's something that draws me. Why are you this way? Then you begin to testify, it's Jesus. Paul puts it this way, it's no more I, it's Christ that lives within me. Well, you know, meaningful connection and genuine compassion will bring people into relationship with the Lord. In New Song, we're doing our best to get people connected through Rooted and various other things. But you know what? It'll never happen until you personally 100% get connected with Jesus first. Otherwise, you're disjointed in all kinds of sideways. It'll never work. You know, well, we must come to grips with the realities of life as we establish our walk in the Lord. Acts 2:42, we'll read that scripture again. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Now, that's pretty simple. Apostles' doctrine, you say, well, how could you have apostles' doctrine when the church is just beginning? There was no written Bible back then. Wow. So they had the desire to realize that the Holy Spirit was going to speak through anointed men of God and they weren't going to go take them to question. So the apostles' doctrine, they were believing that the Holy Spirit is teaching them. It's like when Peter spoke on the day of Pentecost, he says, this is written in the prophet Joel, and I'm just proclaiming this to you. And in fellowship and the breaking of bread. Fellowship is all the fellows in the same ship. Do you need a chart or graph for that? Fellowship. We in the ship, okay? I know you're going to take that home. You can use that. I'll let you. Breaking of bread. It says, the whole idea here is in breaking of bread and in prayers. Now, what does breaking of bread mean? It means stop being so stingy and invite somebody out to lunch or invite them to your house for dinner. Where are you going today? Oh, we're not going there. We'll see you next week. Didn't ever think of inviting them to come with you. Ooh, Jesus. All right. It's going to get rough, but it's going to help us. And in prayers. We'll talk about that more later. Well, we must reckon with the truth of the temporal versus eternal. And that's Colossians 3:2. Okay. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. How do you do that? Some people are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. There's truth to that. Oh, I'm going up to Jesus. I just want to spend time with Jesus. No, honey, we're here. We are here in your presence. Get out the clouds. Let's talk. When it says set your mind, it means don't get established like you're going to stay here forever. Well, let me break it down for you. We must reckon with the truth that the temporal versus the eternal. Don't get so fastened to things down here like you're going to stay here forever. How about this? Culture tries to make young people think that youth is an experience that can be lengthened, extended at will. I'll read that again for young people. Because some people, millennialists, believe this. They say, oh, well, yeah. You know, and they just keep thinking, I'm just going to get younger and younger and younger. Really? It can be lengthened and extended at will. Well, we must learn early on to live our life for Jesus with an eternal perspective. Now, the church that Jesus is building is strong in grace. Now, I want to define that for you. Because a lot of people believe that you can just kind of do anything and it doesn't matter, Jesus is going to forgive you and it's greasy grace, just kind of slide on in the kingdom. Well, let's see what that means. All who are saved by grace and not by any work that has been done. So even if you have your home group or this type of thing together, that will not save you. It's God's grace that puts it together. None of us would have been able to answer the call to be saved unless God's grace was extended to us for we could hear the word and we digest and we act upon it. So don't congratulate yourself prematurely, okay? How about this? We all fall short of the glory of God, which has apprehended us with awe and splendor of the Spirit. None of us deserve to be saved. How about this? The church that is strong in grace will be devoid of the need for legalism. I was brought up in a very, you call it legalistic church. And in some ways, I'm thankful I was. Because knowing my personality, I probably needed to be reined in. Oh, I could be a loose cannon. So they had this at pretty, parameters, this type of thing. Don't drink, smoke, or chew, or run with those who do, and leave the fast ladies alone, that type of thing. And I said, ooh, Lord, I got to be saved. So that was good, but that won't save you. It really won't. Because some of you have the thou shalt not and wish you could philosophy. I can't do this. I really wish I could, but God said I can't, so I guess I won't, but I really want to. Well, really? And some of you won't do certain things because you're afraid somebody will see you doing it. Whatever. Let me see what that means. Well, legalism is one of those things when we feel like we have to be the Holy Ghost police. Don't you know the conviction of the Holy Spirit is better than you are? And the Holy Spirit's conviction is going to be in this room here in a little bit when we set out these communion trays here. And because I got some questions for you at the end of this message that only you and Jesus can answer. Nobody can answer them for you. Well, the truth of the gospel opens the doors of the church. John chapter 8, verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There is nothing worse than to discover in your life something you believed in, and it was a lie. Or your parents never told you the truth about something that was very important to you. And then you find out later that what they told you or what they led you to believe was totally false. It will skew you in such a way that some people to this day are not serving Jesus because of some lie somebody told them. And they're trying to blame God for the liars. Let me tell you who the father of lies is. The devil is the father of lies. The truth is in Jesus. Jesus died for the truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's a reason why that's in his profile. And nobody can come to the Father except through him. Well, let me help you with this. So, missional living is a concept that has been embraced by those who understand the power of the church being involved in the world in hopes of transforming it. And there's things that some of you didn't know about. There's a call them missional communities, and they have house churches, or they have churches where people gather during the week and they share a meal together, they fellowship together, they have a Bible study together, whatever. It's called a missional community. You say, well, that sounds really cool. They're happening all over the world. But, you know, let me just take you a little bit of history from New Song perspective. There's a little place over near Russia called Uzbekistan. And our missionaries, Jay and Brian, the Lord called them, they're working with YM, to go to Uzbekistan, to this communist-dominated country, and to establish a church there. Now, mind you, this happened about 10 years ago. And so they set out to this particular place. Now, mind you, it's against the law to talk about Jesus or the church or anything of this nature, and you can get thrown in jail for doing this. How they got in the country? Well, she's a nurse, and he's also has a degree, and so they got in there in a teaching certificate, and they were able to get into this particular place. And so they started a community of people in Uzbekistan. Do you realize those young people started the first Christian church in the country of Uzbekistan? The very first one. There had never been one there before. At the risk of losing their lives, and finally got so hot for them, that's the reason why they left there and they moved on to Turkey, because the people just kind of tipped off and said, no, if you stay here, these folks are going to put Trump charges on you and they're going to get you in jail. But you know that church is going on today, and it has expanded to other parts of Uzbekistan because of someone believing in establishing the church. Let me tell you something. There's something about people getting together talking about Jesus that will overpower the plan of the enemy. And so when you get together in Jesus' name, something's going to happen. Something powerful is going to happen. Well, we must learn to engage the world in a conversation that will lead to conversion. And I'll tell you in the next few weeks of how to engage in a conversation, not into a debate. My God's bigger than your God. Really? That's not even a contest. The thing that will bring people to know Jesus is the power of God. Well, that being the case, if we are to reach the world for Jesus, we must find ourselves fully engaged in the commerce of daily living, being salt and light. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. That's the church that Jesus is building. So just consider this kind of an overview of what we're going to talk about in the next few weeks. The idea of community was birthed by the church, verses 44 and 45 of Acts chapter 2. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common. Let me stop right there. Honestly and truly, the church was the first real communistic organization. What? You know what that says? And they held all things are going to ain't happening here. No, no, baby, homie, don't do that, okay? Well, let me give you a little historical background behind that so it'll help you to digest this. When the church was birthed, do you think they were happy about it? No. It cost you something to be a part of the church. It cost you something. It could cost you your job. It could cost you your family. It would cost you your place in the community. And so those people who were sticking with it, some of them had resources, some of them didn't. They said, well, you don't have anything, I have something, I will share it with you. So let's hold it in common so you can make it, because we believe in Jesus and we believe in you making it in this particular world. So all mine is yours, yours is mine, we're going to make it because we're doing it all because of Jesus, not because of any other institution. I'm not going to tell you which week I'm going to preach on it, but I'm going to preach on it. So beware. I'm going to preach on generous giving. Well, honey, tell me ahead of time so I can get a headache. There's something about being generous. Do you know why I preach on generosity? Because Jesus gave it all up for you. Come on, you might as well praise him. Community in its truest form was sponsored by the church. In other words, the concept of believers being together was much deeper than can be comprehended, and the willingness to share and be generous with one another was orchestrated by the Holy Spirit. It's going to get scary, so watch out. You may be sitting at your desk, you may be driving along in your car, you may be just kind of just chilling, and all of a sudden this strong impression says, you know, you need to call so-and-so and see what's going on in their life. And so you call them, and they find out, well, you know, I'm doing fine. They finally tell you, so you know, I'm just really having a rough time as far as this. And the Holy Spirit would say to you, you need to give something to help them. You need to buy them some groceries. You need to get some gas for their car. You need to do such and such. And you'll rebuke them. Well, you know that I can give them the number of the food bank. Listen to me. Listen to me. Oh, it's going to get rough. Don't move now because we'll know why you left. The Holy Spirit will ambush, will basically hijack your thought process and say to you, you need to do something right now. Take them some food, write them a check, take care of this for them, and you know what? It'll be totally God. Do you know why the church won't go forward? Because the devil says, oh, no, that's just you. No, I'll tell you, it ain't you, because you're stingy. That ain't you, mm-mm. Matter of fact, when you know you're kind of tight, and look, that's Jesus. He broke through for a moment. Building of the early church implied that there was interaction that led to mentoring and discipleship among the ranks, which simply means this. Jesus has already mandated that the mission of the church is to make disciples. Again, we're going to talk about that later. I'm just kind of laying a little foundation for you. In order to fulfill the purpose of the church, they chose to make this a daily priority. You're thinking, what? There's no way we can do this. We can't come to church every day. Are you kidding me? But here's how the Bible reads. It says, and continuing daily with one accord in the temple. So we can't come to the church every day. Let me just interpret it this way. Your relationship with God is a daily situation. It's not in this box. This is just a box. But when you have daily community, and God has so made it with because of technology, you can reach out to people all the time, day or night. If you don't get them right away, you can send them a text. So that means we have the ability to be connected every single day. You thought that text thing was for you. Could it be God wants to use it as you being part of the church that you'll be able to edify, build up, strengthen, and bless one another? I had this happen. It happened twice within a matter of a few days. The Lord just brought someone to mind, and the Lord says, you need to text them right now that God is with them and going on this type of thing. And so I did. I got a text back in a few minutes. I was just praying about this, and God, and you just, it just happened just right at the right time. And they immediately text back that God had told me to do this particular thing. Do you realize God has put within your hands something that can be used for good? Use it! Forget all the other stuff you've been doing, trying to keep your Facebook in alignment. God bless you. Bless somebody who ain't on Facebook, you know. But you have the ability to do that. So you have the opportunity and the ability to connect with folks daily and almost by the moment and live in real time. Are you happy about that? Are you ready to kind of change over to God's priority for your phone and get off yours? Come on, work with me, folks. Wave your hand if you got a phone that'll do that. Yeah, see, I know y'all, all y'all need to change. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Okay. There's a ministry of multiplication that was driven by the Spirit of God. Mentoring involves modeling of character. We're called to model the character of Jesus, and every day of our life will afford us an opportunity to mentor someone directly or indirectly in the ways of Jesus. Simply means this: people will listen to this very carefully. People will forget most of what you say. They will forget almost nothing of what you do. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I'll be over there, I'll catch up with you this week. How many times have you done lies? I'm going to catch up with you by the end of the week. And honey, as soon as it left your lips, it left your mind. Oh, you never done that? I have. I'll be the first one to confess. I'm going to try to give you a call this week. But you know what you did? You marked them in their book of saying, unreliable. If you say it, do it. If you're forgetful, write it down. Because you can say all you want to, but the people are going to remember what you do. I know this is helping somebody today. I know it's because it's helping me. Jesus, I know I need some help. Jesus. The church that Jesus is building is designed to endure hardship and difficulty. I'm getting really close to what I want to end with. 2 Timothy 2:3. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Hip, hip, hooray. Woo, yay, suffering. Aren't you glad about that? No. But let me tell you what that means. From the beginning of the first church up until this very day, there has been suffering. Suffering is no new thing. The Bible says those who live godly will suffer persecution. Hello. If you're not suffering persecution, then we can deduce perhaps you're not living godly. Oh, that was cold. Might be true. Look at this for a moment. Even though there was great revival, there was great resistance. In order to make it, they chose to pool their resources and share with one another. Every single one of you have something to share with someone else. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about wisdom, encouragement, just being there. You know, throughout the years of pastoring, I've been with people who've endured tremendous losses of family or even resources. And sometimes they don't need you to do anything except be there. Just be there. Just choose to be there. Last little piece. Stay hungry. Stay humble. Following him daily. Luke 9:23. Then he said to them, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Well, Pastor, I try to do it daily, but sometimes I forget. We know. Because we get full of ourselves. What does that look like? Well, if I hold out on God, or if if we hold out on God, we will miss everything God wants to do in us, for us, and through us. 2 Timothy 3:1. That's what it says. But know this, in the last days, perilous times will come. So we've already got that in our logged in, and it means this. The Word of God gives us the disclaimer that we can expect that there are going to be difficult times. He tells you up front. Following Jesus involves risk and dedication. Did you say risk? Uh-huh. You could lose everything you have right now for following Jesus. Oh, I could never do that. No, no, that ain't going to happen to me. I know how to hide stuff. The fact you even said that to me lets me know you're not all in. You just, I'm going to leave it alone because I got plenty of time to work this out. This series is going to take me pretty much 2 or 3 months. And if you skip too many of them, I'm going to mail them to you, okay? Difficult times speak to the fact that there will be times of testing and they will never go away. Now, here's this. God tests us for two reasons. I think you pretty much know what they are, but let me repeat them. An opportunity for him to prove himself to us. An opportunity for us to prove ourselves to him. Or how about this? Or we will discover our greatest joy when we go through the trials of life. It may be hard going through it, but you know something? You'll say, thank God, after you've been through it. Now I realize why that happened. Going through it, you may cry, you may fuss, you may think you're going to lose your mind, but on the other side of it, there's going to be joy. Oh, yes, there will be. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Thank you, Jesus. I think I could preach that today, but let me go on to the subject at hand. God can best demonstrate his faithfulness when he tests our faith. Now, the thing I've got to reiterate to you, God will never tempt you. Did I say never? Never. When God tested Abraham, it was not a temptation. It was a test. We must be honest and declare where we find our identity. We must be real and declare where we find our security. If it is in anything other than Jesus, that has become our Isaac. Let me use these last few minutes to break this down for you. And ushers, you can do this for me. You can come set these plates aside. You won't bother me. Just set them out here because I'll do something with them in just a minute. I don't want to hinder the service. The Lord will go after anything that you put more trust in than him until you put it on the altar. Do you realize that the test of Abraham and Isaac, what it was really all about, it wasn't God trying to kill somebody. It was God trying to save somebody. God had already had a plan, but there's a part of Abraham that needed to be sanctified, that needed to be purified. And as much as Abraham loved God, the truth of the matter was he loved Isaac more than he loved God. And he didn't need to prove that to God necessarily. He needed to prove it to himself. And God has some things in us that we don't need to prove it to necessarily anybody else, but we need to prove to ourselves, you know what? I'm done. I'm willing to let go. So God will go after anything that we put more trust in than we put in him. My first thing they'll put up on the screen behind you, there's only one place in which to find your true identity, and that is Jesus as a part of his church. Now that seems like a rather bland statement, but I want to tell you, it's not bland. Being a part of Jesus' church may be the fact that you may have to suffer death for being a part of his church. that you may lose something that you feel is the thing that's, well, I worked all my life for this. I can't let go of this. I'm going to start with the questions, and you, I'm not going to call anybody up here until I've finished all the questions. We're going to pray, and then I'm going to tell you how communion is going to work today. Number one, what do you need to give up for Jesus' sake? You say, what? Pastor Paul, would you come on up here, please? The worship team, if you want to come up with them, that's fine. What do you need to give up for Jesus' sake? As much as people say, well, I don't really know. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Matter of fact, the moment I read that, you said, oh, yeah. And I'm not going after, you know, video games and cell phones and, you know, soap operas and that kind of nonsense. I want to get real deep down within you of where you live. Here's the deal. And the Holy Spirit just brought this to mind. You know the picture all of you have seen? It says, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And you've seen the door, and it doesn't have a door. If you've seen the picture, it has a door. There's no handle on the outside. The handle's on the inside. If you open the door, I'll come in and sup with him, and he with me. But here's a part of it that someone gave me this revelation. Jesus does not just want it to occupy your house. He wants access to the closet. Woo! Somebody hit right there. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Because, see, you think you got it stowed away and don't nobody know about it. It's a habit I've held on to for a long period of time. As long as it stays in the closet. I bring it out every now and then, but it's in the closet. He don't worry about that. It's in the closet. That's my secret place. God's going after your secret place. Whew, I know that hit somebody. I know it's stirring up right now. Question number two. What do you need to put on the altar? That means it dies today. You say, well, I'm sure God will bring a ram in the thicket. What if he doesn't? Are you ready to put a knife to it, realizing that God knows better than you do? Number four, what's getting between you and God? I said, well, my family's first and this type of thing. You know, God wants us to be true to our families, to our wives, and to this type of thing. Really? So that means God's second. Find that in the Bible. It's not in there. Jesus, in his church, he is number one. The Bible says this, to whom shall you liken me or shall I be equal? That's Jesus talking. That's God talking. Oh, well, you know, God's up here and my girlfriend, my wife, my kids are right up there next to him. No. Oh, I got a couple more, then I'm just going to stop for today because this is more than enough. Number five, what feeds your ego while starving your spirit? We live in an ego-driven society or culture. We find our identity in things that people become, things that make us well-known or make us liked by other people, or we get a reputation of being good at this or good at that, and that feeds your ego. They can really call on you because you can do things that other people can't do. But you know what? Your spirit is anorexic. Without that particular thing, you don't have an identity. Your whole identity is wrapped up in your ego of what you're able to do that other people can't do as well as you can. Somebody better digest that because that's what this means. Here's the last one I'll give you today. Where do you find your security outside of Christ? Where do you find it outside of Christ? I'm going to change our closing song to the one we already sang. Jesus, Jesus is the sweetest name under heaven. That's what we're going to sing as we close today. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. And I want to tell you why this communion tray is up here. For my people who work with the ministry team, I want you to stand along the walls, on the outside walls. And I'm going to invite people in just a moment to come to this table of the Lord. It'll be a communion you're going to have with Jesus, where you're able to let go of some things that have been hindrances in your life that need to be surrendered to God today. And before you partake of this cup, the reason why God has this up here is it represents his blood and his body, and you're saying, well, I want to be a part of the church, but Jesus says before that can happen, we need to do some business about this other stuff you've been holding on that you've made greater than me. Just be still for a moment. Holy Spirit speaking some things to folks right here. Some of you are afraid of the closet door that the Holy Spirit will open what he'll find there, and you feel so condemned, you feel so bad, you feel so dirty, you feel so worthless, you feel so ashamed. God says, I can cleanse you and make you new. My blood has done that. I'm going to pray over you today. And then we're going to stand and I'm going to release you as the Holy Spirit just directs you to come. You come and you take that cup and you and that bread and just stand there for a moment and just begin to thank Jesus because he's cleansed you as a first step of you operating under his auspices and not under your own. I'm going to have my ministry team people available to minister to folks. Some people are coming to Jesus today, and you've been waiting for this time just to let go of everything, and one of those people will be standing to the right or to the left, and they will pray with you. But let me tell you ahead of time, it doesn't preclude you from taking communion. You say, well, I got to pray first. No, you don't. When you resolve that you're accepting Jesus' blood and his body over all this other stuff, Jesus does a work. And then we just solidify that work by praying with you that we seal what God's already done. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Those of you, while you're sitting there, if you're feeling what I'm feeling, just lift your hands to him right now and just begin to praise him and begin to thank him. You give him glory. Just begin to thank him because he's doing something in your life right now. Jesus, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for all that you are. Lord, people will come to this table today, Lord, with a knowledge of knowing that, like me, they don't deserve anything. But it's because of your grace, because of your blood, because of your mercy, that we can come to the table of the Lord and we can receive cleansing for all the things that we've done wrong, and we can receive forgiveness. And we can walk into the power of authority of God. In the name of Jesus. Would you stand to your feet? And as you feel directed, just come down here and receive communion and just let God work in your life. Just step out in Jesus' name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.